Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero, Paul Clay. I don't see Paul yet. Paul, how are you, my friend? Can you hear me?
Good morning, Jess. Always a pleasure to be here with you.
Yes, yes, yes. Hey, I just want to remind the audience that we are in the month of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the month of May. Amen. This is the month. This is the month which the Catholic faithful we've dedicated to our Blessed Mother. And it's the occasion for a moving tribute of faith and love, which Catholics in every part of the world pay to the Queen of Heaven. So during this month, Catholics and Orthodox, both in the church and in the privacy of our homes, we offer up to Mary our daily rosaries, and we offer her our hearts, especially as we venerate her. And Pope Paul VI said the following about Mary in the month of May. He said, "In this month, the benefits of God's mercy come down to us from her throne in greater abundance." That's Pope Paul VI. And so we ask the Blessed Virgin Mary, pray for us. Paul, there's just something. There's an article that was written by a Catholic priest. His name's Father Donald Kloster. It's a phenomenal article, and I want to share it with the audience right now. But before I do that, I want to ask you, as a Catholic who's as a Black American, Candace Owens just came into the Catholic Church. She said the only issue that she struggled with was the Blessed Virgin Mary, but she was able to overcome that issue with prayer. Mm-hmm. Why is it that Protestants, what is it about the Blessed Mother that is a stumbling block? Try to put on your Protestant thinking cap and go back that far.
Yeah, and I remember Scott Hahn saying the same thing, Jess. When he was coming into the church, he said something like, "Mary, Mary, quite contrary."
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the thing is as a Protestant, divorced from sacred tradition, and with this desire in them to want to seek God, they're just trained, you know, to say, "I'm not going to," let me just try to put it into words. It just militates against everything that they know to show honor and praise to anyone other than God. Mm. And so, in their mind, they think that somehow this takes away from God. And again, you know that in the Protestant mind, prayer means worship. It's synonymous with worship. They pray to God, right?
Yes, yes.
And so the Catholic concept of this communion of saints and Mary being chief among them is completely foreign to them, because we pray to God, they say. We don't pray to anyone other than God. Mm. And they don't understand that prayer simply means to ask. And they don't put it together that saints in heaven are participating even more fully, in everything that God has for us, because anything good shares its goodness. So God shares all the goodness. And so, like it says in sacred scripture, Jess, we will reign with Christ. You see, we're not going to be just, a bunch of serfs, so to speak. He shares all of that goodness with us.
Let me ask you a question.
So I think that the Blessed Mother then represents a stumbling block that they don't fully understand, that where she is in connection to salvation, and the fact that they don't really meditate on the fact that without Mary's fiat, without her declaring, "Be it done unto me according to thy word," we wouldn't have Jesus. You see, a lot of people say, oh, you know, God would have just done. No. See, cooperation, right? In the Catholic Church, we teach that we must cooperate with God's will. God doesn't just force things on us. He doesn't force salvation on us. He offers it to us, and we must cooperate. Even though our intellects are damaged because of original sin, even though our wills are weakened, we still have the ability to cooperate with God's grace. And that grace then builds and strengthens our will and illuminates our intellect.
Does it surprise you that an intelligent young lady like Candace Owens, Black Protestant, came into the Catholic Church?
No, absolutely not. Because for me, Jess, and I always tell people, God says, those who seek me will find me, and I will not hide my face from them. And so that for me, it was the journey of 1,000 miles that began with the first step. And for me, I like to say, being a revert, I went around the world looking for these diamonds or looking for these pearls. And I was a pearl collector, and I was seeking the greatest pearl. And I went all around the world and I still didn't find it. And then I went back home, and one day I was in my backyard digging, and I'm like, what? There it was, the mother of all pearls. And that was the Catholic Church. You see, when you seek Christ, it inevitably leads you to his church, the mystical bride of Christ. There can be no other destination. And as you often have noted, Jess, we lose the low-hanging fruit in the Protestant church, in the Catholic Church, to Protestants, right? Protestants come around, even Mormons come around, and so many Catholics get sucked into it because they don't know their faith. But on the other end, we get the Scott Hahns, we get the Steve Rays, we get the Tim Staples. That caliber comes in because why? Because they are seeking God. And like I said, inevitably, it leads us to the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church.
Paul, what were some of the things that helped you overcome your mental roadblocks to the Blessed Mother when you came back into the church? What are some of the images, maybe from the patristics, the fathers of the church, that helped you, or from scripture, you know, typology? What helped you see, okay, I get this. This is, makes sense to me.
Well, quite obviously, when you study the Old Testament, and you study typology, then you realize that Mary is, in fact, the new Eve. That Mary is, in fact, the Ark of the New Covenant. And Mary is, in fact, the Gebira, the Queen Mother, right? It's clear in the Old Testament that all the kings of in the line of David, they had 12 royal ministers and one prime minister. This all speaks of the Catholic Church, right? And they all had a throne next to theirs for their mother, the Queen Mother. So that's the Ark of the New Covenant. The fact that and the Church Fathers taught that Mary was the Ark of the New Covenant. So this these ideas go, they're just not my personal interpretation of the scriptures. This goes all the way back to the beginnings of the church.
Good stuff, brother. Yeah, well, welcome to the church, just our new sister in Christ.
Yes. And then when you understand just the big pictures, what we talk about all the time, that modernism, and you understand even what sacred scripture says, that in the latter days, men will not endure sound teaching. Well, we're in those days, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that a church divided is a weakened church. And any general knows that if he can divide his enemy, he can conquer his enemy. And that is exactly what Protestantism has brought to the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. It has brought endless division, endless separation, that just it just keeps splintering out more and more and more. It's like when you crack a vase or something, and it splits into a million pieces. Can you ever put it back together again?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Good analogies, Paul. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, We're going to move on. Paul and me are part of a Telegram group with a bunch of retired cops and active cops from all around the country.
Yes.
And somebody posted, one of the gentlemen, Matt Reed, a friend of ours. In fact, we've had him on the show before. He's back in. He got reinstated with NYPD. He didn't want to take the jab. He lost his job, and they called him back, Paul. They called him back. So yeah, praise be to God. And by the way, you know what's interesting is Chris Cuomo seems to be gravitating a little bit towards the right. Chris Cuomo is is now very, very public. He, the former anchor for CNN, who got fired a while back ago by CNN, he said that he's sick now as a result of taking the jab. He's got medical problems, and he's very open about it, and he's talking about it now. So,
well, you know, it's funny how that works, right? When it affects you personally, then you all of a sudden have a different view on things.
Yeah, because he was pushing it. He was pushing it on CNN and, calling people names if you didn't take it. Yeah. And all of a sudden
let's pray that Chris Cuomo, that this whole, what the devil means for evil, God can mean for good. So let's hope that it brings Chris Cuomo back to being a man of faith, a true man of faith.
That's right. Amen. From your lips to God's ears. Hey, Paul, up next, we're going to be talking about, there's an incredible letter written by Father Donald Kloster to the Catholic bishops on Catholic tradition and the Latin Mass and the Novus Ordo Mass. We're going to share it with you. We'll make some comments.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We're back. Jesus 911, Soul Patrol, Jess Romero, Paul Clay, two retired Los Angeles deputy sheriffs, lovers of Jesus Christ, under the lordship of his kingship, and also faithful sons of the Blessed Virgin Mary and faithful sons of Holy Mother Church.
Amen. Hey, Jess, I got one quick question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to give Matt back pay?
Wow, if they do, Paul, that'd be nice. I mean, they can you imagine the stress they put him under?
Well, they wrongfully, I don't know what the exact circumstances were, whether he resigned willfully, refusing to take the shot, but it was definitely under duress. I mean, he's a family man. He had a great career ahead of him, and then all of a sudden these draconian mandates come out by, obviously directed by Satan himself, whether or not these people realize it, and forced him out of his job. So same thing like the Navy SEALs and everything that trained military people that refused to take the jab, Jess, then all of a sudden, lo and behold, if you guys want to come back, you can come back.
There's a lot. They need to be compensated, Paul, for what they were put through hell. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
You've been training all your life for a particular job, either in the military or in law enforcement, and all of a sudden you're unemployed, and you've got a couple of kids at home changing diapers, and now, you're looking across the street at In-N-Out and McDonald's. I mean, yeah, they put these guys through some tremendous unnecessary stress, and I hope they get compensated. In fact, maybe we'll have Matt on one of these days. I'll just call him up and see if he can come back on, see if he can talk about it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, so this letter is an open letter to the Catholic bishops, and he's talking to them about the importance of Catholic tradition and the importance of the Latin Mass, and he's comparing it to the Novus Ordo Mass. Here's what he says, okay? He says, this is a sitting prelate of the Catholic Church. He writes, a sitting prelate of the Catholic Church is not a vicar of Rome. He is the authority in his diocese for his faithful. He is the one who should decide what is spiritually beneficial for his faithful. Are almost all of you afraid of the Roman Curia? If you are removed like Bishop Strickland, so be it. So Thomas Aquinas teaches that obedience to tyrannical demands is not tenable. If enough bishops resist, they have great power staying united together in a group of virtuous stalwarts.
Stop right there, Jess.
Yes. Yep.
That's exactly why I don't just blame Pope Francis for all the ills that are going on in the church today. There's no way he alone could be responsible for that.
Good point.
It's a collective effort.
By a lot of bad men, by a lot of corrupt
yes.
men.
Yeah. Yes.
No, good point, Paul. I'm glad you mm-hmm. you pointed out. He says, Father Donald Closter writes, if enough bishops resist, they have great power staying united together in a group of virtuous stalwarts. In 16th century England, only one bishop out of 30 resisted King Henry VIII. That's shameful. St. John Fisher stood up for marriage and the Latin Mass of the Ages. In 1569, the nobles of Northumberland fought against Queen Elizabeth I in favor of the traditional Latin Mass and against the English American liturgy. I didn't know that.
St. Thomas More was actually another great saint there that stood up against that tyrannical effort.
Yeah, but he was St. John Fisher was a bishop and St. Thomas More was a layman. So
yes. Yeah.
So go pick
good
up
point.
pick up the next paragraph.
Yes, our exorcists are repeatedly telling us that the demons hate and fear Latin. I would hope you all would neither be a willing nor negligent accomplice to the powers of hell. Wow. He puts it out there, right? He says, I would hope. He doesn't sound too confident in that.
I know. You're right.
Many faithful have run their own businesses for years. They would never deny their customers their best-selling product. That would be economic suicide. Seeing the TLMs around the country being arbitrarily shut down looks like spiritual suicide to me. It reminds me, well, just like what the left does, Jess, they, you know, Trump said, drill, baby, drill. But so they come up with these false ideas about what they believe, you know, that on how harmful drilling and so forth is to the environment. And so they just choke it off and they impede progress. It's, you know, lefties are the same no matter where they're at.
Yeah, you're right. Political and spiritual lefties.
Yeah.
They destroy anything they touch, Paul.
Yeah. And they don't make sense in what they do, right? There's, you know, the thing about being a good Catholic is faith and reason. I like that reason. And they become unreasonable. They become, like we like to say, just sin makes you stupid.
Yeah. Amen.
You know? And if you're nothing more than a hireling, then that, you know, then that grace that would normally, illuminate your intellect is, it's not working so good.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah. Seeing the TLMs around the country being arbitrarily shut down looks like spiritual suicide to me. Do you, as a bishop, want to spend the final years of your episcopacy presiding over the continued hemorrhaging of our faithful? Do you listen to your faithful who love the TLM and its history of fruitfulness? Do you have eyes to see and ears to hear?
Wow.
Are you? Wow. Yeah, he sounds like the Holy Spirit speaking right through to him, you know?
Man.
Are we the only segment of the church that gets no paternal affection and care? The fruitfulness of any mass, it reminds me of St. Stephen when he broke it down to the Sanhedrin, you know?
Exactly. Wow.
The fruitfulness of any mass should attest to its veracity or mendacity. The vocations to the priesthood in the TLM parishes is 6 to 7 times greater depending on the diocese. To date, I have been assigned, and that doesn't even count, just account for the SSPX.
That's right. Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. To date, I have been assigned in five parishes that offered both masses on the same Sunday schedule. The Novus Ordo Mass had exponentially far more attendees than the traditional Latin Mass at every parish. Yeah, that's because they're trying to limit it at all costs, right?
Right.
The vocations results were 15 TLM to zero Novus Ordo Mass.
Wow.
That's a shutout, Jess. Wow. 15 to nothing's a shutout.
Unbelievable.
In my 28 years as a priest, I have had 29 spiritual directees who have discerned the priesthood or the religious life. 28 TLM and one Novus Ordo. Seven of the TLM left formation before their final vows or ordinations. The one Novus Ordo person was ordained a priest and then left the priesthood. So it's 21 TLM to zero Novus Ordo Mass. Still continuing in their formation or vows. Please, any bishop reading this, prove to me that I am wrong about the negative growth of the Novus Ordo Mass and the positive growth of the TLM. Oh, listen, Jesus said you will know them by their fruits, Jess.
There it is. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the fruit, remember when he cursed that fig tree because it bore no fruit, you know? Now, again,
right,
I get
right.
it in context. That was speaking of something else, but you could apply it here.
Oh, of course.
If there's,
you can apply here by way of analogy. Absolutely.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So positive growth of the TLM, where it is not indiscriminately smashed. Let them stand side by side. Let the faithful decide. Please stop aiding anyone, perhaps you yourself, who is putting his finger on the scale to his own benefit. And that's what they do, Jess. They're so concerned about not wanting to do anything to ruffle the feathers of the hierarchy in Rome because of their own careers that they're looking for, their own advancement within the church. And that is so sad. That is a hireling does.
And I also think that there's this overemphasis on ecumenism and they practice a false ecumenism because true
right.
ecumenism is you let everybody put out what they believe, but as
yes.
Catholics, we put out what we believe and we don't back down because we have the full
truth.
So we say, yeah, Christ is king. He started the church. The church is the one true church. Salvation is only found through it. Okay, I'll hear what you have to say, Mr. Presbyterian and Mr. Episcopalian and Mr. Buddhist and Mr. Muslim, but we're going to hold the line because we know this has been revealed for 2,000 years. This is true. This comes from heaven. And our point of discussion is going to be based on our point of truth.
Yeah, and truth be told, we only listen to what they have to say so that we can point out their error.
Yes, yes, yes.
We don't compromise.
No. We're not like, said, oh, okay, well, show me how that Buddhist meditation goes. Maybe I'll start to apply it to my rosary. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
No.
There should be no place for egoism. Bishops who are jealous of the success of the TLM, that's what his thought was there, you know. No place for an experimental mass that has not worked. No place.
Wow.
That's like the jab, an experimental jab. I hate to say it like that, to put it in that context, Jess, but when you give... When you experiment with something and it clearly doesn't work, the normal person would say, okay, that didn't work.
Throw that away. Back to the drawing
yeah.
board.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So no place for the effeminacy, that is the feminine liturgy of the Novus Ordo Mass as opposed to the masculine liturgy of the TLM that has undermined the Son of Man incarnate on the altar. Talk about
Ooh.
That, Jess. What is he trying to say there? Feminizing the liturgy, do you know?
Yeah. In other words, Paul, one of the things that I think is attractive about the Latin Mass is, number one, is that there's no balloons, banners, and butterflies.
Yes.
Number two, I think men are drawn to the Latin Mass. You almost feel like you're a soldier in battle. I'll tell you why, because maybe some men don't know how to explain this, but the priest facing.
I hear the music, Jess. Let's pick it up on the other side of the break. Hold that thought.
Yep, you got it, buddy. Jesus 911, stick around. Don't go anywhere. Good stuff.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. We're looking at Father Kloster's article, Donald Kloster, Diocese of Bridgeport. He's a priest that wrote an article to Catholic bishops on the Latin Mass and the Novus Ordo Mass. And he's talking about the effeminization. He says the feminine liturgy of the Novus Ordo Mass. Some of the feminine aspects of the Novus Ordo Mass liturgy is that you'll have women lectors, women extraordinary Eucharistic ministers. You'll have female altar servers. You'll have people holding hands in the Our Father. Very, very feminine. You know, two guys next to each other holding hands. Everybody, a lot of emotion, raising the hands, always raising the hands, almost like a rock concert. And I'll tell you why men are drawn to the Latin Mass myself. Here's one of the things. I feel like I'm a soldier in battle being led by a general who leads us. What do I mean by that? The priest in the Latin Mass is the tip of the spear. You know that. He leads a platoon of soldiers. That's the rest of us in the nave. He leads us as he's facing east towards the risen Christ in the ad orientem position, which was the liturgical posture for the priest for about 1,800 years in both East and Western liturgies. And so the Latin Mass also feels like, when you look at the Old Testament, if you want to see how the Jewish Day of Atonement, their high liturgical day, read Sirach chapter 50, verse 1 to 21. Okay, Protestants don't have that book, so they're going to say, well, I don't know how Jews worship. Well, we Catholics do know how. We have it in Sirach chapter 50, verses 1 to 21. And guess what? As you read it, it looks just like the Latin Mass. Here's something else that's important. I like to watch a lot of ancient military movies, you know, and you'll find that so I've studied, you know, a lot of the Roman army's formations. The main formation that Rome would use, the great Roman army would use to defeat their enemies, it was called the wedge. Okay. So you got a point man, you got the strongest guy who's the point man, and then everybody fans out. So you end up looking like a triangle. And the point of the wedge, what they would do, they would just like make deep lines with their best troops on the outside, and they would just literally divide the forces. They would drive deep into the body of these enemy soldiers, and like a thick piece of wood, they would just divide them and split them, and that concentrated their killing powers as they split the armies, and they'd fall to the side. They would start killing them. This is the way Rome defeated Alexander the Great and other great. Well, this is exactly the point that I'm making, is that the wedge is the way the Latin Mass is prayed. You have the priest leading us in battle, and the rest of us. Yes, it's the tip of the Latin Mass facilitates that tip of the spear formation, and so guys get it, even though they can't explain this in their soul. Something feels right. Something feels, because the movements are so precise. It's just like the unknown soldier that you have, a soldier that, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week is guarding the tomb of the unknown soldier. This is the way the Latin Mass is, Paul. There's such precision, such silence.
And
this is what attracts the male soul. Most men don't know how to explain it. But that's what it is. It's that the fight that we have in us that wants to be part of something greater than us.
Yeah, Jess. And this, again, in nature, God said man is head over woman. Husband is head over wife, as Christ is head over the church. And so then grace builds upon this nature, because in the Latin Mass, it's that same theme. Whereas, unfortunately, in the Novus Ordo Mass, there tends to be a gravitation toward the natural, in the natural in the sense of fallen nature,
yeah.
Where women, are the theme of the world today. It's all about feminists. It's all, we don't need men.
Toxic masculinity, by
all. Yes, yes. And they want to feminize men. They want, in fact, there's a hatred toward, you've heard of this thing, especially rich white men, I mean, you just hear these things over and over and over again, and you just know that this war that's taken place is nothing more than the Catholic Church truly had it right when it talked about the two swords, the civil government and the church that God wields, and the two work together to help us achieve our end. And if you can split that apart and see the devil, he's not dumb. He understands divide and conquer. So he's attempting to separate civil government from the church, to the point that the two shall no longer even resemble each other, and both are easy to conquer at that point. And what do we see? Infiltration in the church. We see unjust laws being made through society, and we see chaos in the world.
Yeah, just to be honest, we wonder why mass attendance on Sunday is down right now to about 17% in the United States right now. But before Vatican II, which ended in 1965, the council ended in 65, but they didn't start implementing the changes until 1970.
Got it.
75% of Catholics attended Mass on Sundays pre-1965. So once again, I would just say, by way of analogy, if a major company, Lockheed, Boeing, something like that, saw their clientele go from 75% of Americans to only 17% of Americans that are now using their product after 50 years, everybody would be fired, including the CEO.
Or the company would go out of business.
There you go. So the point that I'm making here is that the new Mass, and I still go to the new Mass, so it's not like I'm just like a Latin Mass only guy. I mean, I go to the Latin Mass on Sundays, but during the weekday, I go to the new Mass. All I just have to say, and it can be done reverently, but again, it's still a redacted form of the Mass, even when it's done reverently. The new Mass appears to be a gateway either to Protestantism or to becoming a nun. That's just a fact, because you find a lot of Catholics that become Protestant.
But you want to explain that becoming a nun, Jess?
In other words, nun, N-O-N-E, I didn't mean N-U-N. They become like a secular humanist. In other words, they're saying, wow. Yeah. There's nothing to this. This just seems like
That's
balloons,
right.
banners, and butterflies.
That's right.
There's no spiritual punch to this. I don't see anything mystical. I don't see anything anything that's like anything that smacks of antiquity. Anything that smacks of the holiness and reverence. I see nothing to this. Guys up there,
you see men. Jess, you see
guitar.
People.
I see some guys beating on drums. There's nothing here that elevates my soul, so why should I even come? And they become a nun, N-O-N-E.
Yeah, Jess, you see people in sandals and shorts and flip-flops. You see them casually going up and receiving our Lord in their hand. And, this is what you see versus you go to the Latin Mass, and there's nothing more beautiful than the incense and the faithful, one by one receiving the Lord on their knees. Like I said, night and day different. And I'm not just talking about the aesthetics. The graces that flow from the Latin Mass are just far more in abundance than you're going to get at the Novus Ordo Mass. And that's just not my opinion. A lot of people who are a lot smarter than me and who are qualified to make that statement say it. My contention is this, Jess, that it's like, imagine a fire hydrant and it's just got all this water coming out, but I can only receive a couple of ounces because, then my vessel is full. That's kind of, in all fairness, if you don't bring anything or prepare yourself to receive the graces, then you're not going to receive the graces that God wants to give you. So there's a it's not just like a lot of people are saying, well, what's so, different about this Latin Mass thing? Well, it's not so much that the Mass is being said in Latin, and there are plenty of advantages and reasons why that is an advantage. But it's more, like you said, it has to do with the individual coming on his knees before the Lord. It's a brokenness. It's a robust, I can't even describe it, Jess, but
I'll tell you why.
All I got is
it's the Latin Mass, especially the prayers are very penitential. So it's funny.
Yes.
Protestants are always saying, hey, have you said the sinner's prayer? Go to Latin Mass. The first half of the Latin Mass is all sinner's prayer. It's all you're beating your chest. You're confessing that you're a sinner from one prayer after another. It's very penitential, and that's and it's very silent.
As a result of that,
it predisposes you to receive all those graces that God wants to give you versus going to Novus Ordo Mass. Now, because I've asked Father Ripperger this, he said this. Look at, he goes, Jess, every Mass, he goes, taps into Calvary. So you're going to get that you're going to get the fire hydrant of Calvary that's popped open like a cork on a champagne bottle at every Mass, TLM or Latin Mass, because it's Calvary. Okay. He said, but you're going to be more predisposed to receive more graces at the Latin Mass because of the reverence, the music, the quietness, the precision of movements, the whole ambience versus people talking, people wanting to hold your hands, the electric guitar, the drums, just the people dressed immodest. Everything about the ambience either predisposes you to receive more graces or less graces. And he says, realistically, the woman next to you, that's got a tight skirt, like she's, walking at a Miss America contest, the woman behind you that's showing her breast, the guy to the side of you that's on sandals and shorts, the choir that's got electric guitars and drums, the women up there, acting like Eucharistic ministers, all of that diverts you from being predisposed to receiving all that God wants to give you. That's what happens.
Yeah, and anecdotally, I can tell you that it revolutionized my life.
Hold that thought.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911 two-man car. We're talking about this well-written letter by Father Donald Kloster, Diocese of Bridgeport, Connecticut. This is one priest writing to the bishops about the Latin Mass and the Novus Ordo Mass, and you can see he's writing from a pastor's heart. He says here, why does it appear that the lone fruitful sector of the church is being ignored, i.e. the Latin Mass? I once heard a man say that he didn't care if the priest spoke Martian as long as the holy faith was bolstered. The Latin Mass is the name of our Western church. I like this. Latin reverses the curse of the Tower of Babel.
Yes.
It gives us one universal language. It seems to me that we need more unity, not the squelching of the spirit of our forefathers. Brilliant argument he just made there. He says, we continue. Father Donald Kloster, Diocese of Bridgeport, he says, the truth of our much lamented position as the church is in the sacramental records. This is specifically found in the change of the priest to faithful ratio over the last 54 years. The ratio is as telling as it gets. Obviously, the lower the priest to faithful ratio, the more the mystical body of Christ is served. The larger the ratio, the harder it becomes for the faithful to go to Mass, have their confessions heard, or to have a meaningful contact with priests at all. In 1970, the year that the Novus Ordo Mass was introduced, we had 59,192 USA priests and around 52 million Catholics, or about one priest to 881 Catholics. Today, we have around 28,000 priests and 72 million Catholics, or about one priest to every 2,571 Catholics. We have one third the priests that we had right after the unexpected innovation of the Novus Ordo Mass. In the five plus decades since 1970, the ratio of priests to faithful has never gotten better. It keeps cratering. The Catholic Church is in dire straits. In the 1950s, we had approximately 80% of our Catholics attending Sunday Mass. We had approximately 80% of our Catholics attending Sunday Mass. In 1980, it was about 50%. By 1990, it was around 40%. And by 2000, it was about 33%. By 2019, it had fallen to 20%. Currently, a diocese is fortunate to count 8% of those who identify as Catholics attending Sunday Mass.
Wow.
No company lets its main product keep tanking year to year, much less decade after over decade. The bishops, as stewards of the Holy Faith, should intuitively reevaluate the consequences of the changes in the Holy Mass. There have been two important studies on the traditional Latin Mass. These TLM faithful live in the exact same society as their Novus Ordo Mass fellow Catholics. The falling numbers in all things Catholic related are not due to the societal, moral, and theological rot. The TLM faithful go to Mass at a 97% clip and give five times more money per capita. These figures were reviewed and verified by Dr. Froehlich, who ran CARA, a National Church Research Center at Georgetown University, for many years. U.S. bishops can't say anymore that no one wants the TLM. That's what we heard time and time again when I was in seminary in the early 1990s. Not only do people want the TLM, they know it is the lone protective cover from the assaults of Satan.
Just one second.
Yeah.
Jess, this priest, he nails it.
Yeah, he's good.
He nails it. Listen, it's not that the people don't want the TLM, because that's obviously not true. It's that the bishops don't want it. You see, this is what God warned us about.
He just called them out.
Called them out. This is what is called. These are, you know, so you wonder what is their motivation, because he's making an appeal to reason here. He's saying, look, by every measurement that you can think of, it would be beneficial for the church to try to get the Latin Mass said as much as possible, because it would exactly give you the opposite as far as results. But no, what are they doing? And this is why people like Dr. Taylor Marshall have written books like Infiltration. Mm-hmm. See, we have been infiltrated. But there are people, Jess, who are holding the reins. Jesus said, they're not of us. You know, there are imposters out there. And sacred scripture warns us. I hate to say it, but all you have to do is look at what's coming out of their mouth, and you have to say, does it align with the perennial teachings of the faith? Does it align with logic and reason? And the answer is, a lot of what's coming out of these bishops, Jess, is all about, I don't know, but it's not about the business of the church. It's not about the main mission of the church is to save souls. At least that's what I thought, Jess.
Yeah, no, what they've done is they're cozying up too much of their political liberal allies, and they like the money that comes in, and because the church is a nonprofit, and they like the nonprofit perks that they get from government dollars, and this is why. Basically, they buy their vote.
They've been bought off. They've been bought off because governments, like, you know this, Jess, you told me about it. How much U.S. tax dollars are going to the coffers of the bishops?
$100 million a year. That's well documented. It's on the internet. You could look it up on the internet. It's right on the U.S. Bishop's website, the money they received from the from our federal government. Yep, that's a fact.
Yeah, and what was the deal that that was made with communist China? How many billions of dollars are being poured in to the church?
That's another fact. That's also well documented in many journal articles on the internet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when you what happens is G.K. Chesterton said, when the church becomes friends with the world, the church becomes divorced. In other words, to be friends with the world, the church will divorce itself from Christ. That's what G.K. Chesterton meant. And that's what we have to get away from this enmeshment, because we are enmeshed with the government right now in the U.S. Yep. Let me finish this article. It says every other religious practice is being demolished. Practicing Christians or any modern religion is ceding to a non-practice and or a type of atheistic godlessness. To me, it is nefarious to insinuate that the Novus Ordo Mass can even exist in the future. Wow, good point. The Novus Ordo Mass is stuck in a 1960s time warp. It neither resembles our traditional liturgy, nor does it remotely approach any eternal reality test. I've always believed that the Novus Ordo Mass one day it'll be gone. I've said that for years, and now I have a priest saying the same thing. It's not going to stand the test of time, but when Christ comes back, we will only have the Latin Mass in the Roman Rite. It says here, some bishops believe that an oriented Novus Ordo in Latin is the answer. They want to coax or massage a belief that the Novus Ordo Mass in Latin will satiate the TLM faithful. Not so as it is spiritually a far weaker imitation. Yeah, again, the prayers have been redacted. Mm-hmm. The problem is that this idea has already been tried and failed. I will say that the Novus Ordo in Latin is far better than the Novus Ordo in the vernacular. However, it will just be a slower bleed. The Novus Ordo in Latin has no upside growth, no vocation increase. It is still a breach of over 1,930-year Holy Mass from the apostles and tradition. Why on earth would a Catholic prelate allow growing traditional Latin Masses in his diocese to be canceled? What harm have these people done? Do they give too much to the collection? Do they get married too often? Do they come to Sunday Mass too regularly? Do they have too many Catholic children because they're not practicing contraception? We know that 89% of normal Novus Ordo Mass attending women agree with contraception, and only 2% of TLM women agree with contraception. The overarching contraception mentality in the Novus Ordo Mass speaks volume as to the atrophy it engenders. These masses seem to produce two different religions. Wow, wow, wow. We got 1 minute, Paul. You want to make any comments?
Oh, yeah.
God
said in Genesis, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Yeah. Latin Mass Catholics take that serious. And it's evident that in the Novus Ordo, it seems like they're not reproducing on that level. I wonder which one Satan prefers.
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you something else that I like about the Latin Mass is, again, just the interior silence you experience at the Latin Mass. And this is what I need throughout the week: radio, TV, noise, news, internet. I need to just check out of this world, and I need what I would call that my soul. When I go to the Latin Mass on Sundays, it feels like I get blasted with holy radiation. What do I mean by that? I feel like I went to Calvary. The interior silence that I experience at the Latin Mass is cathartic. And at the Latin Mass, my soul feels protected as the priest in persona Christi. I see him. He's praying for me and my family for an hour. And I'm personally in a position of receptivity. How's that? I'm on my knees almost the whole Mass and in silence. Versus the Novus Ordo Mass, it's like gymnastics. Up, down, kneel, sit. Up, down, kneel, sit. Up, down. In the Latin Mass, you're in a position of receptivity like a child almost the entire Mass, at least at the low Mass. And the fact that you have to, the fact that you have to preface, like, you know, when you ask somebody, hey, do you go to a reverent Novus Ordo Mass? The fact that you even have to preface, say, do you go to a reverent Novus Ordo Mass? It tells me that there's a problem with the DNA of the Novus Ordo Mass. If you have to say, hey, I go to a reverent Novus Ordo Mass, you never hear people. You never hear people saying, I go to a reverent Latin Mass. Why?
Yeah.
Because across
they're all reverent.
They're all reverent. The movements, the prayers are precise, they're rich, they're sacred, they're uniform. Nobody ever says, did you go to a reverent Latin mass? No. But people ask each other, Catholics, hey, my parish, they do a reverent Novus Ordo. Why do you have to preface it? Because you know that there's irreverent Novus Ordo all over the place. That's my comment.
Eat de misa es, Jess. Take the mass out to the world. See, how you train is how you perform in combat. And so we're called in Church Militant to go out and to do battle in the world. And we can be no more prepared than in the traditional Latin Mass.
That's a wrap, my friends. We'll see you next time, same Christ channel. God bless you. Keep the faith. Dr. Sandoval up next, and I'm going to walk my son out to the car. We're going to take him over to the airport in Kansas. God bless you guys. See you next time. Keep the faith.